What up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Laud Times podcast. Got Dennis in the house and Double O Nation, who happened to link up yesterday at the terrible performance by the Mexican national team, like always and recently against the USA. Fellas, how are we doing today?
This was one of those days where I was leaning towards my gringo side, even though I was wearing my Sebastian jersey from last year's championship run. I wasn't like all disappointed. I had some happiness yesterday, even though it was not a good day for our federation and for our country. But nothing's going to change, so why am I complaining about it?
I feel that. Edgar, how was your experience there at the stadium? How's it been lately?
Well, it's been good. Missed Tigres very, very much. So much that I bought my ticket to go see the Mexican national team. Kind of like Dennis, I didn't have too many high hopes going into it. I wanted to be wrong. I wanted them to shut me up. I got embarrassed. But it is what it is.
The best part of yesterday was seeing Edgar. There's two good parts about yesterday. Seeing Edgar for the first time and getting to like meet him and stuff. And also being 50 feet away from Kate Abdo, who, if you guys don't know, is the host of CBS of their Champions League coverage. And she's just a stunning woman. Like, she's incredibly beautiful. So,
my man.
I'm going to leave it at that.
I would say that the best thing from that game was no Tigres player was associated with that loss.
Amen.
Yeah. Outside of meeting Dennis, that was the best part. We are not responsible.
Yeah, it was interesting from the get-go that there was no Tigres players there. And, you know, obviously you can blame it on form, but then some players that played yesterday and are on the national team were not in form either. Interesting, you know, Linus, who has been a Jimmy Lozano player for a while now through the youth Olympics and, you know, just previous call-ups. Cordoba, Angulo, ¿quién más? Who am I missing? Osiel Herrera, Marcelo Flores, who was with the U23 team. But all in all, I mean, I don't want to spend too much time talking about the national team because I love soccer and I love Mexico. I love Mexico as a country, and obviously I was born there, but I've learned long, long ago that the national team is a straight business deal, and no matter what they do and what they change, it's nothing significantly to do anything when it comes to the sporting side. It's all about the business and all the money coming in. So probably leave it at that. I don't know if you guys want to share any other experiences about your time at the stadium, at Jerry World, the land of the no free agents.
Oh, man.
Hey, I'm not a Cowboys fan, so I'm not hurt by that statement.
I'm hurt, but I'm hurt.
I'm not mad.
Anyways, fellas, it's been quite a bit since we recorded, probably a couple weeks since we talked about the team. Obviously, we're on international break, but we are back, obviously, and we got a full schedule again. You know, we got Puebla coming up on Friday, and after that, quick turnaround, and we start back with the Conca. So let's start there. Obviously, today we had some news. Even as of like a couple hours ago, Vladimir Salty Garcia nowadays.
Very salty.
Released some information about Marcelo Flores being injured or leaving the camp from the Mexican National U23 team and coming back to Monterrey to get some analysis done, some medical analysis to see and diagnose what could possibly be his injury. Edgar, or the other Edgar, mentioned in the group thread earlier that strange that they didn't even say anything in regards to the injury. Usually it's like, oh, he had, you know, he got tackled. He, you know, he left the training early. Some sort of like making us guess as to what could have happened. Nothing on in regards to the national team as far as the U23, and then nothing yet of Tigres. How do we feel about that breaking news?
So it's definitely something that is suspicious, something that I think they're very transparent with everything that they do. They love the interaction when it comes to social media, even if it's good or negative news. The other Edgar's theory was that, it might have been him, possibly Peter, someone posted that maybe Ciboli just hit him up and told him, get the heck out of there, come back. We have work to get done here, which I hope is the case.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too... I wouldn't have my hopes up on that. I think there's definitely an injury there. Dennis, what are we thinking? How are you feeling about that news? It's
so unfortunate because I'm sure we'll talk about it. We haven't really recapped the last couple weeks yet, but the form that he's been on has been really, really strong for us. And he even had a pretty decent performance with the U23s the other day. So it's just so frustrating because it felt like he was finally going to have like a long sustained moment. And that's not the case, at least for right now. We'll see how severe this is. I hope it's just a short-term thing because I think we really need him for all the games we have coming up. I know you just talked about it with the first two, but I mean, we have Puebla and then we got to fly to Columbus, fly back and then play
Pachuca.
Pachuca. Then we host Columbus again in the second leg. And then we have Clásico Regio at our second home. So
what a tough sets of matches.
That's a rough six games. Really, I mean, hopefully the one on Friday, this Friday, is not too difficult. But the five after that, oh boy.
But we know in Tigres fashion we're gonna make that game difficult.
Oh, sufrir. Yeah. Sufrimiento, bro. That's how it is. So I'm really bummed for Marcelo and I really hope it's nothing too serious. I would imagine he doesn't play Friday. Just at this point, it's probably just safe to assume that he doesn't play Friday, but fingers crossed that he's back in Columbus next week.
Exactly. Let's backtrack a little bit to the CONCA, where we obviously won our match or our series against Orlando, and we were able to pull through 4-2 at home after the first game ending 0-0 in Orlando, where Marcelo obviously had some appearances coming from the America game to the Orlando game and then the Mazatlan game. So this is why it's a little, like you mentioned, a little, it sucks, man, because he definitely increased his form, got some minutes, has definitely has had all the fans and, you know, all of us excited for his form and what he's able and capable of doing with his skill set. I don't think we have a player like him. It's been a while since we've had a winger like him. You know, not necessarily comparing him exactly to Damian Alvarez, but a guy that can just take on players, and he's one of them. He's got a knack for scoring goals as well, as he has demonstrated recently. But let's backtrack to that Orlando game. Did we expect that many goals in that series, especially in the second leg, you know, especially going 0-0 in the first leg? We finally got Orlando out of the way. There's definitely no salty fans anymore for the away goal rule. So it was definitely legitimate. It was whooping. And it was all Tigres in that second game. Dennis, walk me through some of your thoughts as we advanced past Orlando in that game.
Yeah, it was a good atmosphere as someone who was there, fortunate enough to be there that night. It was a good atmosphere for a midweek game. A lot more people showed up than I thought we're going to. You couldn't really see on the broadcast, but like the area behind the benches was not full because those are, for those of you who have never been to El Volcán, those are usually the most expensive places to sit. But pretty much everywhere else was full for the most part, which was good, again, for midweek. And I kind of, after watching or Yeah, Orlando. I almost said Minnesota, but they played Minnesota right before they played us that second leg. Watching them play Minnesota in their league game, I kind of felt that we were able to find ways to score lots of goals. Maybe not four. I don't think I was expecting four in my head, but I was expecting us to break through at least a couple times just because they were really leaky in that game and not really like solid defensive. And Gallese has been really bad. Like, this is the opposite of what he was last year. Not just against us, but even in the league, like, he was really good for Orlando last year, and this year he's been horrendous to start, and that also showed in that second leg. Just really, really poor save opportunities for him, and his distribution was also really, really poor, and that helped us out a lot. And obviously that was Marcelo's coming out party in a lot of ways, because he started that night and had a great goal and kind of set things off in the right way. And we talked about it in the previous episode, Edgar and I did. I mean, the only really downside of that game was the stupid penalty calls and the red card for Carioca. Like, there was a lot of positives to take from that second leg. And obviously not having Carioca the next game as a result of that red card stinks. But besides that, a lot of good things happened that night.
Absolutely. And obviously moving past that and going into the Mazatlan game, Edgar, we talked about the confidence that Marcelo Flores had. We were able to secure some points there. Resounding 5-1 victory where, you know, it's Mazapan, but we know that, you know, a game like that always instills confidence. What were your thoughts there as far as, you know, having those back-to-back 9 goals and back-to-back games?
It's been a very long time since we've seen that many goals in back-to-back games. I mean, it was almost hard to believe. And yeah, granted, it was Mazatlan, but it was a more competitive one than I think the last two seasons. I think they were a little bit more, their squad's a bit more built up and a bit more prepared to play against Tigres. But it was so great to see that performance against Orlando wasn't just a fluke, that he was able to show up and outshine so many players in that game.
And I think everything went right for Tigres. Even Samir scored a goal. It was just Samir! A wonderful... Dennis, you were also there. I don't know if you want to share a little bit more insight on that as well.
Yeah, very fortunate to be 5 rows behind the team bench. My mom, short backstory, my mom has a friend that she's known forever, and he actually has abonos for both Tigres and Rayados, and he was very fortunate enough to, or very gracious enough to give us the opportunity to go and to take his seats and park in a spot which was really close to the stadium. So it was a wonderful experience. I was yelling stuff at Gignac all night and Etsy Boldy and a lot of the other guys. It was super great. And just from watching the game, like, you guys have already talked about it, like, Marcelo, another great game. Samir, not just the goal, but I just think defensively he's trending up, which has been what we needed. I always like to joke, Samir de la Premier, and we're kind of seeing that again, at least on the defensive side of the ball, where he's like really holding it down. Another solid Felipe game, you know, like just being really calm and acting like the Nahuel absence is not a big deal so far. And the other standout was Gorriarán. I thought Gorriarán played one of his better games, at least so far this half season, because of his intensity and the way he got up the field a little bit more, and even Brunetta too, a lot better performance from him as well. So it was a great night. I had so much fun. We had tacos popos. If anybody in Monterrey knows where those are, incredible trompo tacos. I had a great night that night. I can't lie.
You had 3 games.
And femenil. Yeah.
You went to the femenil game. Yeah, I think that, again, it was a performance that we were asking for and we were looking forward to having or watching the Tigres have. 5-1 victory, which leads us now into where we were at, the FIFA break, and talking obviously about the Marcelo injury. But now looking ahead, guys, we have Puebla on Friday. And, you know, one of the things that you post or one of the questions that you asked us today, Edgar, was what do we think about rotations, you know, going into this Friday? Obviously, all of our players had rest. The players that were maybe carrying some injuries were able to do gym work and, you know, rest. no national team players besides the youngsters who went to perform with the U23 squad. Also, shout out Chicha Sanchez, right?
Yeah, U20.
U20. But other than that, everybody was at home in Monterrey. And we even had a wedding that also took place. Shout out Diego Reyes.
Shout out Diente Lopez for being in all the team pictures. That made my heart smile.
The man that allows every attacker to come into our home and do whatever they want finally is locked up. We love to see it. So shout out Diego Reyes. But it was really interesting thing that you brought that question up, you know, today, Edgar. And I was, you know, thinking about it after you asked, and, you know, obviously I didn't respond to you, but I was thinking about it for quite a bit. And I don't know if I want to see any rotations. I think I'd like to see the squad that Siboldi trusts the most and his best 11 go against Puebla, especially after 2 weeks of no soccer or no games. I know we had a friendly game that was very random against York United, if I'm not mistaken.
Shout out Bisuto for scoring.
Bisuto scored a goal. Hadn't heard his name in about three months. So that's just my opinion. I think full squad. I don't know what you think, Edgar, since you posed the question.
Yeah, so for me, because everyone is well-rested, I would go out with a very solid starting 11. The only question I did pose is, who do you pair up with Carioca if you do go that route? Because he will not be available on Wednesday. So he 100% should start this weekend. And for me personally, I'll go ahead and answer that. I think it should be Vigón. I think you rest Fernando Gorriarán, keep him at 100, pair him up with Fierro for the next game. I don't know what you guys think.
Dennis, what do you think?
I like that. I mean, that's the only surefire thing we know is that Carioca pretty much has to start because, as we talked about already, he's suspended for that first leg in Columbus. So I think that's the right call because I think Gorriarán Fierro is the better pairing in that game in Columbus. That's going to be a pretty hostile environment, and I think that pairing matches up really well. But it also would not surprise me if it ends up being Vigo and Gorriarán as well. But I think that would be really cool. And as far as like the other parts of the lineup, I kind of think Ibañez should start this weekend, or he should play most of the minutes. I think I would save APG as much as you can because more than ever you need him on Tuesday, Wednesday, just because that Columbus team is going to be really hard to play against. And he likes to score in the United States most often than not, or more often than not. So I think you try to save his legs more than anything. And other than that, I think you can kind of plug and play whoever. And I think I'd be pretty happy with it. Yeah.
Is Fierro back from the U23 squad? No, right?
I think they're playing tonight. I think that's the gist.
Let's see. Yeah, because it wasn't anything about Ociel or Fierro was not mentioned today. So they should still be doing something.
Yeah, I mean, obviously only Marcelo came back because of the injury. I'm just thinking if he's still with the national, the U23 squad, do we think he starts on Friday?
Probably not, I would imagine.
I think one thing that we're not considering, because Carioca is out, and I don't know. I would like to see it if it happens. You know, you mentioned Vigón, Nando. You have no true five per se. You know, you have more two box to box. I'd like to see the pace of that, and I don't really think that against Puebla you would need to. There's two things that besides that I would consider. I don't know if Siboldi would choose any of these options like we talked about with Nando and Vigón. Aggressively, I would like to see Nando and Córdoba in the middle and have Nando as the lone five. One thing, though, I wouldn't be surprised, which is the other option, is Pizarro to slide into back to his old natural position at the five and then allow Nando Gorriarán to play there and then you can have Samir, Purata, or Diego Reyes to give that rotation there, since it's going to have back-to-back on Tuesday. I think it's a lot trickier than in the past as far as who to rotate in there, because naturally the answer probably is Bigón because of the position. And I think that if Fierro was not with the U23 squad, I think Fierro would be the natural option to start with Nando. But I think because he's still with the U23 national team, I don't know if he'll be – not that he won't be game fit, because I think he will – he's young. He can be game fit. I don't think Siboldi would put him in to plug him in as a starter.
I would like to see the Garza – Aquino fullback.
I think Garza's not training entirely.
Okay. I didn't know that. It'd be nice to see that. It'd be nice to see that if that's possible. But if not, then Angulo obviously has to slide in there. Because I want to save Angulo too for Tuesday if possible. And Chewy kind of fills in that gap for now. Or you slide in Angulo at center back, and if you want to get real crazy and experimental, but I don't think that will actually happen.
But you don't think that with that much rest, they'd all be ready to rock and roll?
I mean, probably, but again, you have to think about just that gauntlet of five games that you're going to have, like, in pretty quick succession. So it's a risky game, because you want to put in a good performance. You want to get 3 points on Friday.
It's a must.
Yeah. But also, you just got to be careful about who you have out there, just because you don't want anybody to get hurt or lose anybody between now and then, between now and next game, or even the games beyond. You know, I think you just got to be really careful when you can. And this is probably the most careful you can be in this game, because Pachuca is going to be a hard game as well in the league. And obviously, Rayados in a few weeks, that speaks for itself. So
the U23 squad plays tonight, like you said. Actually, should be starting here in the next 30 minutes against Argentina once again. So he's not flying in till tomorrow. If he flies in early morning, he might train. He may not. So then you're looking at Wednesday, Thursday, he travels with the team to Puebla. I don't know, man. I don't see Fierro as the viable option to start, even though I think it would be the natural choice there. And I think the deserving choice behind Carioca. I think it's going to be interesting who he pairs up with. But like I said, aggressively, I would want Córdoba to play with Nando. And then you could also allow Brunetta, but that's just me, you know, over imagining Siboldi to be a super aggressive offensive coach.
Yeah, I hear you. So
probably not going to happen.
I'd like to see OCL start, personally.
U23, though. Again, same scenario.
Yeah, I know it'd be tough, but
I think realistically, he goes Angulo, Samir, Pizarro, and Aquino, if he's healthy, which he should be because he got the rest. I think he goes Bigón, Nando.
You mean Rafa? Because Rafa's out for CONCACAF, not this
right. Time. I am so sorry. Yes, Rafa and Nando. And then Luisao, Brunetta, Lainez, and Gignac.
That's not too many foreigners? Or is that no, that's not too many foreigners, because I keep forgetting Felipe. No, yeah, Felipe helps. Out. Yeah, that helps a lot.
So Nahuel out leaves that back pairing to be foreigners, and then the rest stay the same. Brunetta starts over Córdoba.
Yeah, as long as Quiñones doesn't start on Tuesday, I'm okay with him playing Friday as much as he wants. Just don't put him on the field in Columbus.
Bro, you know he's going to start. You know he's going to start.
He scored a goal, and he was man of the match that one game.
The first game, the 0-0 match.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Who even gets an award for a 0-0 match?
I don't even know, bro. It's so bad.
Anyways, then we fly to Columbus, like you said, which is going to be a tough match. Columbus is a really good team. So quick predictions on the Puebla game, because I don't really want to spend too much time than we already spent on it. I think Tigres has to get a win, has to come out aggressive. They're one of the last place teams, if not last. I haven't checked the standings recently, but they're definitely bottom three teams. They just had a coaching change recently. They just hired a sporting director, and Tigres is coming in after a successful previous games before the FIFA break. 2-0? 2-1. 2-1. 2-1, my prediction.
So I'm going to go 3-0 because I had just checked the standings, and they are 18th.
Yeah. Ah.
So okay. I think a little bit more room for some offensive surprises from us.
Sure, 3-0, I guess. 2-0 at least.
You're saying it like it's a bad thing, Dennis.
I don't know. Like, I say that and it's going to be like a 1-1 draw.
Or a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, or that. Yeah. It's going to be sufrimiento.
Oh, man. We don't have enough evidence of this.
And we're going away, too. Like, we're playing at their place, and we haven't had a good away record in the league this year at all. So
we haven't had good evidence of this squad all season. We can't truly assess, and we want them to beat every single team that we play, but we've had some bad games, some really bad games, some okay games, and then some really good games. Nothing consistent.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
So we get past that. We bring the 3 points back. We move again up in the standings, get closer to the top three, which who knows where we'll end up, but we gotta figure out a way to get close to the top, especially with America not being in good form, you know, as of recent. I'm not afraid of Rayados, obviously, because once we get to that Clásico Regio, everything changes. It's all about, you know, how intelligent the squad is, and I think their winning pedigree always comes out on top. So I don't expect nothing less than a tie or a dub there. But that Columbus game, Dennis, give us a little scouting report on this squad and what to expect from this American ex Lucas Alarayan side.
Yeah, the Lucas Alarayan Bowl. I think they have the best coach in the league, Wilfred Nancy. Just incredible tactic wise. He makes his guys like spread out and use space on the field really, really well. They have a really solid midfield that likes to control games with Aiden Morris and Darlington Nagbe. Darlington Nagbe is like ancient in MLS world. Like, he's been playing in MLS forever, but he's so, so good and so consistent even at his older age. I mean, they just won MLS Cup. They're the MLS champions. And so that speaks for itself. And they have ways in which they can beat teams. I mean, they had a great game plan last year in the MLS Cup final against LAFC, in which they really like hunted their midfield and kind of limited the chances that they were able to create for guys that they have, like Carlos Vela when he was there and Danny Buwanga, because they kind of made Ilya Sanchez and their other midfielder Tillman non-existent in that game. And so I'm sure that's what he's going to try to do with us, especially in that first leg with Carioca out, like trying to figure out ways to attack Gorriarán and attack whoever else starts next to him. And so I think we have to find ways to control the game, because they like to have control as well, and just have to limit the offense that they have as well, because they have two guys that are really good offensively, in Diego Rossi, who is a former LAFC man who he played in Turkey for Fenerbahce, and he just came back last year. He actually replaced Alarayan. And then they have Cucho Hernandez, who's
good.
Incredible. Like, yeah. Was Samir's teammate at Watford in the Premier League. When they were in the league that year, Watford, he was one of the guys that always caught my eye when they played. I mean, they had to play so defensive because they were one of the worst teams. But when they played in transition, he was always one of the standouts. And that is just like, you know, continued in MLS. Obviously, it's a different league, but he's been outstanding since he got to Columbus. So he is the one guy to watch out for and the one guy that we have to do a really good job of containing, because he just kind of goes everywhere. Like, he's not like, he's a striker, but like, he can also like play really well on the wings as well. I think he's kind of more of a left-sided like winger if he does play out on the wing, but he's everywhere. Like,
he's a poor man's Julian Alvarez.
Yeah.
He can go out wide. He can drop back into the midfield. He can, you know, poach the box. He's quick. He's intelligent. He's got great touch on the ball. He was excellent. I watched him throughout the Leagues Cup, and I've watched a couple of the MLS games, and I thought he's a top player. He's definitely one of the top five players in the league, in my opinion, in the MLS.
Yep. Won MLS Cup MVP last year.
Tag along with all the midfielders, Aiden Morens, obviously Nagby, who probably one of the most technical U.S. players over the last 10 years. He wasn't, yep, you know, that rough five or six that plays in the middle. He was a box-to-box, but he was able to, you know, recover the ball, and he had great touch on the ball. So he's been playing for a while, veteran. So I'm with you. I think it's going to be – it's probably the most challenging MLS side that we've played in a long time. I think that probably goes back even to those Seattle Sounder days when we were playing those squad, even the Toronto squads back Toronto in the day. I think that this is going to be a really tough level. Game.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I'm with you 100%. Even if, let's say hypothetically, we move on and play Miami, I don't think Miami is as tough as Columbus.
Absolutely
is.
Not.
Not at all.
This is the toughest game the rest of the way if we go through all the way.
Yeah, I'm with you. They're so organized, and they have such a clear identity. That's what stands out, like, compared to Miami. And they are just well-drilled in what they do. So it's going to be fascinating. And more than anything, we have to come away with a goal next week. Like, obviously, duh, because the away goals. But in that environment, because Columbus is really good at home, and we've struggled away in both competitions this year, and not having Carioca, like, it is so vital to come away with at least a goal out of Columbus next weekend, because that puts it right in our hands.
The home base of the USA team, Columbus, Ohio.
That's right.
What does Tigres need to do to counter everything we've spoken about Columbus Crew in terms of play?
Not let Quiñones on the field.
That's simple.
No, I think Siboldi just needs to make sure that we do have a promising starting 11 for sure. I think that is definitely not a game where you do want to see a hybrid lineup. For sure not a B team, and I don't see him doing that, especially in one of his press conferences. That was one of the things he did reiterate, that he is still going for both tournaments. So that was very reassuring to hear that he's taking this game seriously.
And see, that goes back to my point where I think that this Puebla game, I think we need to go with the strongest lineup. I think we need to see the form of everybody after these 2 weeks and see, you know, what player obviously is going to replace Carioca in on that Champions League game. But I think you know, at most you have two changes, the Carioca, obviously, and maybe if APG starts against Puebla, Nico, or vice versa. But I think you have to go, you know, with a strong lineup against Puebla to see where your team is at after a break. Tactically, I think that, you know, we have to ping pong the ball around. We have to be patient. I think it's going to be a game where we don't have to rush. We have to be smart with our passing. Obviously, it might be an ugly game on our side just because it might benefit us best to control the tempo of the game and not allow them to, you know, play their game, which you talked about, you know, spreading the field, you know, going wide, and then obviously using their speed that they have also in some of their players. So I think that ultimately we got to get possession of the game and be patient to when moving forward, and when we need to or need be, take shots. You know, one of the things that we know of MLS sides, their weakness lies in their defense and sometimes their keepers. Then we see goals like, you know, in Chicago from Kellen Acosta. Then we see some,
the wind goal,
right? So I think that ultimately take shots, as many shots as possible on goal, while being patient moving forward.
think we have to be good in transition too. Have
defensively,
to not,
always.
Well, I mean offensively. Oh. Like, I think one of the things that bothered me about that first leg in Orlando is that anytime we had a half chance in transition, we just slowed it down, you know? And I understand you can do that to a degree, and I think that's important to do that on Tuesday, but you got to take chances too, and you got to get that goal. And so picking and choosing when to really go all out in transition, I think, is going to be super important. And I think getting out there and taking chances, you know, has to go a long way.
Early prediction for the first leg?
I'd be really happy with 1-1.
I think if we do it right, it's 1-0 victory.
I'm leaning towards that. I'm with you. 1-0. I think that it's going to – we have to turn it into an ugly game.
I agree. At their place, yeah.
Yeah. And then have more our way at home. I mean, it's this part of the season where we have to turn it up. I think that, you know, the break couldn't have come at a better time as for our players and mentally and physically to, you know, turn it back up, because I think that, you know, it's the perfect time with where we're at in the stage of the CONCACAF and where we're at with the league, you know, to see where our push is going to be, whether it's going to be for the CONCACAF. I know, Edgar, you mentioned that Siboldi stated both tournaments are obviously in play, which they are. But I think that, you know, the next two weeks or week and a half is going to give us a really good idea where we're going to make the bigger push as far as the cup that we're going to pursuing with more aggressively. Anything else, fellas, on the men's? Anything that I might have missed? Any recent news?
I don't think so.
Now, Wales still a few weeks out. We're looking at
very mid-May. Happy on social media, though.
What's that?
He's been very happy on social media, though. Just posting all about his recovery, his podcast. So it's a little vacation for him. He seems very, very relaxed.
Yeah. Great for him. Bad for us.
Absolutely.
But I think mid-May is the target of when he's supposed to come back. I think if he makes a full recovery, he should be making an appearance back in the quarters or maybe semis of the Liguilla. You know, if we do make it that far.
Perfect. And then he can be ready for the Champions League final on June 1st or 2nd, whenever it is.
Yeah. Let's go over to the women's. Tigres Femenil. Lots of news happening there. Lots of important updates, as not only in locally for the league, which have been dominated. Dennis, you were obviously at the Femenil Clásico, which ended up in a 0-0 tie. Good game, though. I thought, you expect more, but I think with that much talent on the field, I think that it's fair that sometimes neither team is going to get the best results. I think that both teams had chances, and our defense was phenomenal that game and was able to hold a clean sheet. And for almost some centimeters, you know, Ferral didn't allow one of their players to score a goal at the end. So got the tie there, and then we moved recently into a 1-0 victory against
Chivas.
Chivas, the second best team in the league. So locally, we're still doing great. We're on pace to obviously finish first with a game less, or a game in hand, as we like to call or say in the Premier. What are the expectations going for the rest of the season? Think we can finish with all dubs, Edgar?
I think we have to. I think we've crossed all the major hurdles. I mean, America is not an easy team, but definitely they're not invincible or unbeatable. I think time and time again, we've proved that we've played very well against them.
And probably coming off probably their worst season in the last 3-4 seasons.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. They're not as strong this season as in previous ones. But I think other than that, it's pretty much smooth sailing for the rest of the season.
For sure. We did have some breaking news with that, though, as far as participations in some tournaments. We've had now the arrival of the CONCACAF Champions League for the women's, as well as the Leagues Cup for the women. The Leagues Cup will be, you know, is a group, or the teams were divided into groups, with only six Mexican League teams participating and all the NWSL teams participating. And the group that we were selected to be in is with the Houston Dash, the KC Current, and then Pachuca.
Good group.
Yeah, a good group. And we happen to have host a game at home against Pachuca. I think we're the only Mexican team that hosts a game at home.
Oh, wow. That's good for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's well-deserved. I think being the best team in all league history and the fan base that we attract, I think it was definitely – if it was one team that you break the rule for, it's definitely for Tigres Femenil.
I agree. Okay, did you know this, though? It's called Summer Cup, but the final of this thing is in October.
Interesting.
They're, like, doing it. It's, like, the group stage and then the top four teams in of all the groups. So, like, you could win your group and not even advance to the semifinal. The top four teams go into the semifinal round. Yes, most points. And then they play, like, the first or second weekend of August. And then they can't play the final till till October because of Olympics and league schedule.
And the reason why is because there's five groups. So the top four teams with the most points get to the semifinals.
Right. Yeah.
So we have to beat Pachuca at home. We have to cross faces with Maria Sanchez, the GOAT.
That's right.
And then KC Current.
At their new stadium, which is very pretty.
Second women's specific stadium, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
I saw an argument on Twitter that when somebody said it was the first, and it was definitely not the first, it was the second. What do we think is the toughest matchup there?
Probably Houston, I would guess.
Probably.
Casey's good, though, but I don't think they're as good as Houston.
And emotionally, too. Everything that goes into that game.
But that's going to be a good game for us because we'll have a lot of our people there.
It'll be a home game.
Tickets went on sale already for that game. So it'll be actually
today, right?
Yeah, they went on sale today. And I think it's the weekend or the week before the men's side travels over there for Leagues Cup.
Yeah, it's like that. And then like 3 days later is the Puebla game at the Dynamo Stadium. And then after that is obviously the Miami game.
And ticket prices for the Houston Dash versus Tigres Femenil are fantastic.
Yeah. Go get your tickets, people. They're very, very affordable.
I'm talking like $15 before taxes and fees for...
Oh, I saw some for $15 with fees, my guy.
Oh, I mean, it was... I probably didn't even go that far, but I saw $15 even without selecting the seats, and that was the first level near the corner. So... Wow. Great ticket prices. I think we're going to have a lot of people. It's going to be a good summer for Tigres fans in Houston.
For sure.
Miami tickets went on sale for the Leagues Cup on the men's side.
They're selling well, too.
The Puebla game, like you mentioned, and now this Leagues Cup for the women's side. But I love the exposure. I love the fact that, you know, we're there for the Leagues Cup, the CONCACAF. You know, they didn't release too much information, but we were able to, like, see that the information that was provided was the – I think it's three teams that are participating for Mexico.
The top three of the league.
And I think it's based on the merits and the qualifications that make up. It should be Tigres Femenil A, Tigres Femenil B, and then our youth squad.
Definitely.
I agree.
I can't recall – I can't truly recall what it is. I think it was because it was, you know, May champion, I think, December champion, and then I can't believe the third one. But I know that it was we fit all the three categories. I don't know who the other two teams are because on technicality, it should be Tigres Femenil all across.
I think it's most points, but again, that's Tigres. I mean, you look at our season right now, 31 points. Yeah. Second place, I think, has like 26.
Yeah. Should be us.
But I don't – so who goes? Is it going to be America for the final appearance?
Maybe. Or Chivas. We wouldn't be surprised if Chivas sneaks in there with how they're playing this season.
They're good. I like their pace. But overall, I think it's great for women's football, especially for our squad to get all this exposure. Like I'm mentioning, I think that with more time passing by, I think Tigres Femenil, I've said it plenty of times in numerous podcasts. They are a big reason why our brand on the men's side continues to also grow because of the exposure and the fans that Tigres Femenil has gathered in the States and continues to gather, only makes the brand as a whole more recognizable and propels it to a more international level with more attraction for top players.
Agreed.
And think about it. Now you're going to go against a Gotham FC squad, you know, and, you know, all the other NWSL squads who have super stacked squads. And now you have a Jenny Hermoso. You have, you know, Mari Carmen Reyes, you know, chopping legs all over the field. Stephanie Mayor. La Mago Valle being the best player in the league. I think that Tigres Femenil's talent is at an all high compared to like in the past, and to have now that exposure, it's like it's great timing.
I agree. Could use some better coaching though from the last couple weeks.
It's tough because, you know, she got us the championship and they're on a roll this season. Is she the most exciting coach and probably best coach for Tigres? I don't think so, but I mean, it's the same thing on the men's side with Siboldi. Results yeah. Speak loudly.
Yeah, that's true.
So, any more to add on the women's?
So you're letting us stay at your house when we spend a whole week in Houston, right?
I mean, I have an extra room.
Because we have to. I mean, we have to be down there for all of them. Where else are we going to go?
You're more than welcome to. I have an extra room. More than welcome to come by. Definitely want to set up a tailgate, though, for the Miami game. And the women's team, it just depends the time of the game. But the Miami game, for sure, it's a Saturday. It's prime time.
And it's at NRG, which is like prime tailgate area.
Yeah. So that'll be nice to set up. So, you know, hopefully we can get that set up. I know you guys are going. Lewis is going. My boy Lou. From Austin. And by the way, guys, I think that, you know, pretty soon we're going to have a podcast, and I just want to pose the question, or a podcast episode, because we already have a podcast.
We
podcast
do?
Episode to discuss some of the top players in Tigres history. More specifically, Lucas Lobos versus Walter Gaitán.
We are discussing who was better.
Yes. And I think that that'll be nice to maybe come up with a top 10 of Tigres' all-time players. Since Lou is very keen on Lucas Lobos walking away over Gaitán.
We're going to have lots of hot takes, I feel, in that one.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't disrespect El Mago like that.
I mean, I agree.
I say that as, like, behind me I have a picture of Lucas Lobos, Gignac, and Walter Gaitán over Cerro La Silla.
Iconic.
Yeah, that was my favorite three players. Diablo Núñez is right outside of that top three. Fellas, well, it's been a good time. It's great to talk about Tigres once again. Any last comments before we go?
Nope. I think we're good.
We're set. Let's get a dub on Friday and get back to convincing victories.
Amen.
Let's get another 9 goals back to back.
Man, that would be.
Dude, imagine awesome. Scoring 4 goals on Columbus. That would be crazy.
I think we would break the Twitter world with all the MLS defendants of their league.
Yep. Uh huh.
So, anyways, that's it for today, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Like always, give us some feedback. Give us a shout out. Tag us, share us, and all the shameless plugs that need to happen in order to get this podcast out there.
Just look at the show notes and follow all the handles and click the links and everything there.
Sweet, fellas. Thank you. Till next time.
Peace.
Ciao.